You are now listening to the Serious Growth Podcast with your host, Leo Costa Jr.
Hey, everybody, this is Leo Costa Jr. coming to you from SeriousGrowth.com. On the show today, we have a gentleman named, last name is Ricardo, first name is Philip Ricardo. How you doing?
I am doing outstanding, Leo.
Man, I know why, because I watched the show. So I know exactly why you're on cloud nine. To say that you have an impressive resume is, my goodness, an understatement. Let me see here. You started competing in 1992. And if you don't mind me asking, how old were you then? Because I know you're 48 now, yeah?
Yeah, I'm 48 now. I was 21 years old and wet behind the ears. I was in the Marine Corps and I was stationed in Iwakuni, Japan. Lucky me. It's a great place to be. And during that time, I was on base. They had a little base competition that they had with the Japanese that were able to come on base and all the service members. And one of my friends, coworkers, put me into the show. I'm a very shy guy. Uh-huh. And he said, hey, I put your name down for the show. You got a good physique. I was like, really? And I was kind of scared, but I was also happy to do it because I was kind of interested in you know, I've always followed Arnold and all the magazines and stuff. And I didn't know what the heck I was doing. I put on these multicolored trunks, didn't shave, I didn't tan, I didn't oil up or anything, didn't know how to pose.
Yeah.
But because of my physique, I was able to still win my class. I lost the overall, but you know, that's pretty much how the bug bit me.
That's funny. We all get started in our own ways, but you know, hey, the bottom line is when you're good, period. Okay, so since then, I see that you're a two-time PNBA world champion. And now, is that world champion, exactly what does that mean? Because I know there's different, in your resume there or your bio, there's different things that you've won here. But the PNBA world champion, now obviously that's different than the Olympia and the Universe. So what is the world champion? Is that just a different show?
Yeah, it's a different show. So the IMBA, PNBA is global. Worldwide, they go through like 60 countries. They travel all over the place. So I did the world championships are always in foreign countries.
Right.
So I did the world championships for the first time. I had won the 2015 Natural Olympia, and the Keikos, Denny and Diana and Denise said, let's go to Budapest, Hungary.
Okay.
I want you to represent the USA. So we brought a Team USA out to Budapest, Hungary in 2016, and I won the world championships then. Won again the next year in 2017 to Italy. And I won back-to-back world championships. And that was the last time I competed.
You've been doing a lot of winning. I think it's become a habit with you, huh?
You know, God has blessed me with this gift, and I'm going to take it and run with it, you know, and I'm very blessed.
Why not? And then in addition to winning, and then just recently you won the Masters and the Open Olympia in Vegas. This is where I met you.
Correct.
Yeah,
that's correct.
Yes. And then along with all that, you're a retired Marine sergeant, master sergeant. Is that right?
Right. That is correct. Yes. Okay. 21 years of service.
Unbelievable. And then if that wasn't enough, you're a father of four.
That is correct. Probably my biggest.
do you have enough time in the day to do all this or what?
You know, you have to be like Nike and just do it. You know,
that's
kind of my motto. When things happen, you just got to just accomplish the mission and keep moving.
So. I like that. I call it perfect willingness. You know, as long as you have that, you're good. And then, okay, so let's get into kind of the bulk of this, the show. So the last time you competed was in 2015. And why did you take a layoff?
Honestly, there's a whole bunch of life things happening. I recently got divorced, been married for years, and you know, the sport takes its toll. And it's tough when, you know, as you know, it can be an egotistical, selfish sport because you're all about yourself, trying to get yourself ready for these shows, you're dieting, you're doing all these things that kind of can take away from the family.
Yep.
And so I wanted to really focus on the family. And even though I tried doing that, it really didn't help save the marriage, unfortunately. And it was hard. So I was just dealing with a whole bunch of things. I think I had to go through a lot of trials and testimonies in life before this opportunity happened to compete this year. My mother passed away in 2018. My father passed away this year. And so I had to deal with a lot being the oldest child. Yeah. And on top of that was divorce and everything. It was just a whole lot to take on. And, you know, I just really, you know, being a Christian man, loving Jesus, I feel like he was putting me through these trials to, you know, grant me a new beginning. Now I have a great fiance that I'm going to be married to next year. I've got this competition that happened and I pulled out in an unbelievable comeback victory. You know, just there's a lot of great things. Generation Iron, Iron Man Magazine, now being interviewed by you. It's just the gifts keep on coming, you know.
And the thing that you're talking about is life is going to test you no matter what. You know, it doesn't matter. I mean, we all have our story. I mean, I can relate to what you're saying because something similar happened to me. I got into the sport and it took me on a wild ride. And, you know, listen, things have consequences. There's trade-offs in this life. You know, if you want to, in the sport of bodybuilding, as far as I'm concerned, if you want to do this thing right, it's almost, you almost have to be imbalanced to do it because you can't, you know, this sport is so unwavering and unforgiving that you can't multitask very well to do a lot of things and then to think that you're going to compete at a high level. Boy, I tell you what, I mean, the person that ends up doing that, I commend them, but I totally get what you're saying. But, you know, on the other hand, I got into a saying, attention produces results, whether it be a good or bad thing, it produces results. So when you go through life and, you know, there's tension, something's going to happen, you know, and fortunately, I think it has a lot to do with how we choose to adapt to that particular situation. You know, it's either going to, I think, destroy or define you, and obviously it's defining you. So, you know, that's always a good thing. And I don't know about you, but I got a feeling because I met you, I instantly knew that you were legit and a heck of a good person. And listen, I wanted you to be on this show maybe as much as you wanted to, believe me. But I like connecting with people like yourself, and your energy is amazing. And I think I don't know if you heard what I was talking when I talked on after the, or just before I handed out the checks at the show. But I think that the organization, Denny and his organization, is definitely advancing this sport in the most important way. And you're that person. You're so good for the industry. I hope you know that. And I hope that you're able to take advantage of this, especially when this is your moment now, you know, for now. And I hope you take advantage of that because you deserve it in a lot of ways, Philip, believe me. So I commend
you. Thank you so much.
You bet.
Thank you, man.
So I know how old you were when you started training, but did you ever do any other sports besides bodybuilding, like before you were 19?
Yeah, in high school, I played football. Actually, my entire life, I still love football to this day. Football was my pretty much everything. I grew up doing Pop Warner football, so I played tackle football from the age of like 8 all the way through high school. You know, I was good. I wasn't great. I was good enough to get like many scholarships and things like that. But I, you know, had a choice because my family, my parents, you know, they did the best they could. My dad was awesome because he gave me that opportunity to play football. But that football background led me to, I went to high school in Downers Grove, Chicago, Illinois. And they had the best weight training program ever. You know, I mean, the way they trained there really built a strong foundation for me. I was 5'9", 135 pounds soaking wet, but I was pretty ripped. And just being able to do squats, deadlifts, power cleans, bench press, getting that foundation really built up a lot of muscle on my body, got me stronger, gave me confidence. And I carried that on into the Marine Corps, that kind of training style. Yeah. I just kept working out and loved the way it made me feel and look. So
yeah, lucky for you. I mean, when I was coming through, believe it or not, there weren't many programs, because you're talking about high school. There weren't many programs in high school that had good weight training programs. I mean, usually the weight training program was just, you know, put on by one of the assistant coaches. And there really wasn't much going on in there other than the coaches just, you know, watching the kids and making sure they weren't getting hurt. But and when I came back from Bulgaria, I took a trip to Bulgaria that started this whole thing for me.
Wow.
And there is where I learned about sports-specific training, very important. Now, when you were in high school, did you have coaches that were training you specifically for the sport, or was it more of a strength program? Because that's very different.
It's a combination of both, really. It was really our off season. They, you know, an off season makes or breaks you. You know, you got to train, you know, practice as you're going to play. Right. And our off season was really focused on strength. We were at a 6A school. So for 6A, it's kind of like the highest, you know, we have a bigger population in our high school. So we played at the top level. Our high school was rated like, you know, top 20 in the nation. And so we had some really big boys on the offensive line. We had some superstar players that ended up going to, you know, schools like Northwestern and the Big Ten. So it was a very good school. That, like I said, the training and the weight room and everything was state of the art for that time frame. Even the stadium itself, in the football field. So it was great. I think even the off season and in season, they had different programs for us.
Beautiful.
I never knew about. Yeah, it was great. It was great. To this day, I know that they did the right thing. So
well, and that makes a huge difference, because I can tell you from my, you know, me going through what was happening was that because the coaches didn't have enough information at that time as far as sports specific training. What ended up happening for the football guys, they trained them all for strength. And what happened was these guys were stronger, but just, if you just do pure strength training, as you, I'm sure you know, and you don't do explosive type training, it makes you stronger but slower, you know. Right. And on the field, that's not going to always pan out for you. So that you were lucky that you got into that kind of a program, right?
Well, very lucky, very blessed. You know, we did agility training, you know, lots of endurance training, you know, just all type of drills that they, same type of drills you'll see, like if you're looking at ESPN and some of the NFL teams, we did the exact same thing.
And that's back in those days too. What a lucky place for you to start, that's for sure.
Yes, right. Sure, yes.
Okay, so now bodybuilding. Tell me who your bodybuilding idols were, or if you had any.
Oh, I had a lot. I mean, you know, obviously I'm lifetime drug free, but that doesn't mean that the guys that, you know, the Arnolds, the ones that started, even though they're enhanced or whatever, that's all I knew, because being kind of naive at the time, there's no internet. You know, I would read Flex Magazine, Muscle and Fitness, Iron Man back then. And I would follow guys, and I'm a light skinned black guy mixed, you know, Puerto Rican black and a whole bunch of different ethnicities. So I kind of try to follow people that had a similar look to me. So when I first really got started, it was guys like Sean Ray.
Oh yeah.
Flex Wheeler, those type of physiques. You know, Sean Ray is a really good-looking, light-skinned black guy that had the perfect balance physique. Yeah. So I really wanted to get to look like him. I also followed the great posers. Posing, to me, is really what made bodybuilding artistic. And so I followed guys like Lee Labrada, who I think is one of the best posers that I've ever seen. I did follow some of the natural guys, because back then when I actually started on ESPN, they had American Muscle. So they had some of the top guys that Chris Cormier were on, that was on there, Paul Dillis, Sean Ray, Flex. They also had, they followed some of the people that are doing like Muscle Mania and Team Universe. Chris Faldo, Kai Green at the time when he was natural, did some shows there. And he's great poser then, great poser now. So there are so many guys, Skip LaCour, I can name a bunch of them. I was just a big fan of them in general.
Well, let me say this. With regard to posing, you brought the house down. I think that you were one of the best posers in that whole event. I'll tell you that right now.
And thank you very much.
I'm very drawn to that, because when I was coming up, it was about choreographing a routine, the music. And so that was my first 15 years of competing. And then I left I took a 13-year layoff. I just retired at that point. And then I decided one day, I wanted to know if muscle really had memory. So at the age of 56, I came back. You know, and it does, by the way. But what I noticed that was just really different when I was now competing at this age was that people were, they were just moving the music, but it wasn't choreographed. And I thought, what the heck is this all about now? You know? I was used to, like, I mean, I followed, my guy that I followed as far as posing was Arnold, because I watched him, I don't know if it was Stay Hungry or one of those, where he hired a ballerina to help him, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, I learned a lot, you know. And, of course, Ed Corney was a great poser. Maybe he's before your time. So
no, I know him, Muhammad Makawi, guys are,
You brought the house down, not once, but about three. I think you ended up doing that routine to that music four times, maybe. It was awesome. And I can vouch for the fact that the crowd loved it every single time. And I did, too. I mean, I was on that. Yeah, it was pretty amazing. We all were, you know, watching you. Because when you have a good routine like that, and you can have a great body, but when you do a good routine like that, that just pulls everybody in. You've got everybody captive in a different way, you know. Thank so you that was cool that. To watch that. With regard to, you know, and referring to guys that were maybe enhanced that were your idols, listen, I don't think that's a bad thing necessarily because, you know what, the truth of the matter is this. I've had to deal with throughout my career because I ended up going natural to – I used – you know, in my later years where I was competing. But I have to tell you something, even with that being said, you still got to do the work, you know?
I agree.
And it's just like these guys, I mean, even in baseball with Barry Bonds, it's like, you know, hey, listen, if he didn't take it, he'd still be the great hitter. And I'm mixed about that. I don't necessarily condone all that, but it shouldn't take away from the fact that these guys are, they didn't get to that spot for no reason at all. You know, I know what you're saying about that.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah. How did you learn how to train for bodybuilding? So you were in a high school program. Then how does that transition into now knowing how to train like a bodybuilder?
Yeah, that's a great question. When I, like I said, I was in the Marine Corps and I did the first show. I had no idea. I was doing horrible poses when I was on stage. I was really learning on the fly. And it wasn't until after that first show that when you have, I had that success. So it literally was the first time that I'm doing an individual sport versus football, which is a team sport.
Right.
I'm in charge of myself. So at that time, wanting to improve and be the best, I just basically did all the research I could, you know, and that's when I started reading more magazines, checking out TV and also talking to other bodybuilders or a few on the base that were, you know, older than I was at the time being 21. I was just seeking out the older military members that competed before, and they helped me with workout programs, with eating, because I thought I ate a lot and I did not, you know. So they said, well, you think you're eating a lot of food, but you need to eat, you know, eating every 3 hours, getting enough protein, carbs, fats, everything else. So it was really seeking out that information and being hungry to become a better bodybuilder. And I kept improving year by year. I feel like every year I was getting, you know, at least five. Initially, of course, when you our first getting started, it's going to be quick for you to get those gains.
Yeah.
So I made quick, you know, 10-pound gain, and then it slowed down a little bit. But over the years, and without the aid, obviously, of the internet and YouTube and all that, I just continued to improve my body and learn how to pose. And I was actually asked to do some guest posing appearances really early on in my career. And doing that really forced me to get better.
Yeah. Yeah. And the thing about that is I remember when I started, I had my nose in every magazine that was out there.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
The thing is, and of course, you're in the gym and you talk to people. But, you know, almost at that time in the beginning, there's so much information and you don't know how to really decipher all that. And I found myself sometimes being really confused because it's like, yeah, I talked to five different people and they had five different ways that I should do that. You know?
Right.
So part of the journey I learned was for me to do it myself. And then, of course, as I got going, and then I found out that that's probably the best way, because everything that these guys talked about works to a degree. It's just that what degree does it work for you? That's what I end up learning, you know?
I think
we all do. If we stay in it long enough, I think we all kind of end up on that same path and have similar experiences, because I can totally relate to what you're saying. So do you consider yourself a hard gainer?
For sure. I'm definitely a hard gainer. Like I said, I was 5'9", 135 in high school. When I joined the Marine Corps after boot camp and everything else, I did gain some weight. Wasn't always the best weight. So I got up to around 150. But it was always a struggle for me to gain that weight. And that's why I knew when these guys were telling me, you know, if you want to gain weight and be even more successful in bodybuilding, you've got to eat.
Yeah.
And I literally had to stop a lot of my activities that I like to do, whether it's running and football and things like that, just so I can put on that extra mass and just really sit there, focus on food. And it was the stuff in my face to gain that mass. And it wasn't comfortable. You know, obviously when you're eating, especially extra carbs, you can feel kind of, you know, lethargic and just like, you know, you want to sit on the couch and watch TV. But that's what I had to do to put on that weight and hold on to it before I can cut down and get ready for a competition. And it did work. It worked. And then after a while, I gained the size that I needed to compete in, you know, more difficult shows.
Right.
You know, some NCP shows, because I didn't know anything about the natural federations. I didn't see any of them at the time until the IMBA, PNBA in 1998. So.
Yeah, you have what I would, you know, there's three different body types, you know, ectomorphic, mesomorphic, endomorphic. You have correct. More of a, from my opinion, you have more of a ectomorphic / mesomorphic. Mine yes. was classical, pretty much mesomorphic, maybe right. endomorphic a little bit, you know,
kind
of a blend. And I yes. know the ectomorphic person usually is a little more challenging. And I'll tell you what, something for sure, it doesn't matter whether you're ectomorphic or mesomorphic. If you don't have an appetite, you better not get into the sport, because instead, especially in the off season, I mean, I couldn't believe it. It almost seemed like that's all I did. It was a full-time job just to eat.
Full-time job.
But I will tell you something, you know, a lot of people, I've been in the gym business, and I've had my own personal training studios for 38 years. And I hear a lot of stuff over the years, you know, of course, and I've trained in Gold's in a lot of places. And I hear this, I think sometimes that some people use a hard gainer as an excuse. I'm not saying that you are, by no means,
right.
because to tell you the truth, I had the type that was actually really friendly to put on muscle weight, and I thought I was a hard gainer too. I think we're all hard gainers, you know.
In our heads, yes.
A lot of hard work in to get some of the gains that we're talking about, you know.
So exactly. Yeah,
that's kind of funny. Do you in your training, do you train more free weight or do you use machines, and why? What's your strategy, I guess?
Well, I'll tell you, when I first obviously in the Marine Corps, we were very hardcore. It was all about free weights. You know, I did the three big lifts, bench, deadlift, squat. My legs were very skinny. And so when I knew that I started, you know, I had success in the beginning, but when I went up against tougher competitors with a full package, legs and everything, I knew that I had to get squats in my routine. And so that became the staple of my workout. And I was just, you know, working really deep squats, getting down to, you know, 400 pounds, even at my little weight that I had. And I got really strong with my legs. And I just focused on putting on mass on my legs. And so in the beginning, from, you know, my early 20s into my 30s, it was, you know, mostly free weights. As I got down closer to competition, you know, four, six weeks out or something like that, I would switch more to machines just to prevent injury and also just make sure I'm just getting a pump, you know, things like that. But off-season wise and at the beginning portion of prep, you know, I stuck with free weights. Now, as I'm older now and in my 40s and, you know, late 40s, I have definitely switched more to machines, to where I use it more as a warm-up just to get the joints, blood flowing, the joints lubricated and everything else. And then I'll go to free weights too. So it's more of a combination. But it was more specifically free weights when I was a lot younger. So
yeah. And of course, you know that free weight training, it recruits more muscles than a machine does. And you're always going to get more results from doing free weight training.
Exactly.
And that's, I was the same way. I did free weight. I'll tell you what, though, man, this coming back after a 13-year layoff was kind of an eye-opener for me, because, you know, I don't know about you, but a lot of the stuff that as a bodybuilder, we just believe it in blind faith. You know, when somebody says that there's a muscle-mind or mind-muscle connection and muscle has memory, okay, I'm going to believe that. And I want to believe that, you know? But I haven't really experienced that at this point.
Right.
Now I take layoff, and it's like, you know what? It really did. I mean, that once you do something to your physiology, it's forever imprinted on your DNA. And that's legit stuff, man. And when I came back at the age of 56, I have to tell you, I was actually as strong as I was when I was in my 40s with certain lifts. And I was surprised by, and one lift that I'm flashing on right now is the incline bench press. I was doing reps of 8 with 315 in an incline barbell. Yeah, that's what I was saying. I couldn't believe it. You know? That stuff is, all that stuff, mind and muscle connection and muscle has memory, that is for real. And, you know, I've noticed that even with people like, when I've worked with lots of people over the years, thousands of people in my studios. And, you know, people come back from a layoff, but I always ask them, I said, have you ever done training before of any kind? Yes. I said, well, you watch what happens within 3 weeks. And sure enough, all your body needs is some repetition, you know, and really respond. Right. It's never like starting completely over.
Right.
It's always nice to get that confirmation, you know. So, the next thing I was going to ask you, you answered the question was, do you train differently in off season compared to pre-contesting? And you do that. I did the same thing too, just especially later on, just, you know, not to get hurt before the show. You know, it's too much.
Right, yes.
Too much
too
work.
Much.
Too much that you're putting into this thing to all of a sudden get injured. Nothing worse than that, I don't think. So how long did your offseason last?
Well, to be honest with you, when I started getting really successful and doing well, I wanted to be noticed. So I was out there, any show, and, you know, I was stationed in California, the mecca of, you know, bodybuilding, obviously. So I was in San Diego. And so there were so many shows. And so my offseason didn't last as long as it probably should have to recruit the growth. Mm-hmm. But there are a couple of times that, you know, in the military, you get deployed and you go to different countries and you can't compete. So during those deployment times, I'd have, you know, a whole year of off season. And then I just would find a show that I would kind of just focus on, you know, put that calendar out there and say, I'm going to do this show in March. I'm going to do this show in the summertime. And so it really varied. So I'd like to have as long of an off season as possible. Yeah. But I also knew too, that if I wanted to get noticed and for the judges to, you know, I became a staple with the judges. They knew, hey, I'm going to be, you know, one of the guys to look out for. At the time, it's the middleweight class. I moved up to the light heavyweight class. And then when I started getting into natural bodybuilding with the IMBA, PNBA, and I also did Muscle Mania, a couple of shows. Really just put myself out there, and it's almost like the entire year I was doing shows. You know, I'd have a show and then I'd take maybe a couple of months off and go right back to onto the diet and time it. So it was rough.
That's brutal.
It's probably not the best way to do it, but I feel when I did that, it also helped for me to eat away at the body fat.
Yeah.
So it helped me get leaner because I didn't really diet long enough in the beginning. I was, you know, took for granted that I had a fast metabolism. So that I just really said that, you know what, I can diet for 6 weeks and get away with it and step on stage. And it wasn't until I got smarter and wiser and learned from other people that you need to have, you know, 12 at the least and maybe 16, 20 week diet to really focus on and get rid of all that, you know, visceral body fat and everything else to get lean as you can and dry. So,
well, one of the things I think that you were smart about, and some people didn't understand that during the days when I was competing, is that bodybuilding is one of those sports that you have to be seen by the judges. They have to get to know you, because if you just show up every once in a while, because I saw this, even if you come in a slightly better shape than the guy that won, that guy's been around and they know him, you know?
Yes.
You know, you got to learn how to play the game and the way the politics work, right?
Yeah, you got to pay your dues, yes.
Yeah, and yet so many people, they used to get so mad and throw their trophies, and it's like, wait, right. You know, I'm thinking, wait a minute, you know, this is how this works, you know?
Yes.
Like, you have to be seen. So I think that you were smart that way. You, and again, trade-offs. You figured that out, that you need to be seen, and they start saying, oh, yeah, we know this guy, and they start tracking you. Yep.
Yes.
Very intuitive, smart move. You know? I've talked to some people, and it sounded like you were competing more than twice a year when you could.
Oh yeah.
You know, I never competed more than twice a year. I don't know how guys did it, to be honest with you. I mean, you know, it took me a while to get to after the show was over. I don't know about you, but it took me a month after when I competed in any show for me to really be back in what I would consider off season. You know,
yeah, I agree. Yeah,
it takes its toll. It wears you down in a way that you're not even aware of it when you're in the moment. But when you're out of it, all of a sudden your body just goes. Mine did. This is like, yeah. You know, I need some rest. You know.
Yes.
But it only took about a month before. Okay, now I started feeling like I could get in and, you know, and do that off season training and eating and all that kind of stuff. So to compete more than twice a year. Oh my goodness. I don't know.
Love of the sport.
Yeah. How many days a week do you train?
Right now, surprisingly, it's funny because I would always take days off in the beginning when I was younger, when I probably could have trained more. But now that I'm older, I train almost every day, which is crazy. I just know how to do the splits and I feel better. I just, you know, the endorphins and everything that you release when you're working out, I just love it. So, you know, I'm not always, you know, super intense every time I go into the gym, you know, all of these days a week, but I probably work out at least 6 days a week, especially during pre-contest prep. It was 6 days a week, so sometimes seven. And I was getting in my cardio first thing in the morning and also right post-workout. Yeah. So it was pretty rough, but I can work out almost every day and pretty much feel good and not get super sore because I'm not crushing it like I used to when I was
right. Eating. How long do your training sessions last?
They usually last no more than an hour. I'm not in there, you know, doing a 2 hour wait. I think that's overkill. You know, I get the pump, I get, you know, the volumization in the muscle groups that I'm trying to train. And really, I have to make sure that nutrition is most important. If you're training, I know some guys that I'd see training in a gym 2-3 hours, and then they have that long gap in between their eating. And I say, you're not going to make any muscle gains if you're not feeding the muscle and you're just destroying it and breaking it down and not putting the fuel back in times. So
yeah.
I think that's a trade-off with that. So.
Well, and you know, when I was over, again, I learned so many life lessons in Bulgaria, even though they were Olympic. Bulgarians dominated the world back in the 80s. And what was really surprising about that is that they were a small country, and in only 9 years, they overthrew Russia, which, like, you know, overthrowing Russia at time was like shaming somebody in public, you know. I mean, it was a major insult. But so I went there, and I learned so many lessons from them, Philip. And one of the things that they talked about was how most people train too long and how that interferes with your body's natural, you know, testosterone productions. And basically what they taught me was this. They said, you shouldn't train any more than ideally, no more than an hour, but ideally 30 to 45 minutes. You know, that was there because they said, look, in 30 minutes, it's virtually impossible to overtrain the body. So think about that. If you can't, if you're not overtraining the body to begin with, and if you don't do that after a training session, your body is fully recovered within 5 hours. Okay. So the mistake that these guys were making back, even when I was coming through, like you were saying, they were in there 2 hours a day or more. They were so overtrained that they couldn't, there were guys that were doing training sessions once every 4 days. Well, it took them that long before their body could, you know, from all that beating that they were doing.
Yes.
You know? So I thought that was just really interesting. And of course, the training courses that I wrote, I always advocated 30 to 45 minutes. But the truth is, you could push it up to about an hour and you're still okay. So you're in that.
Good.
You're doing so many things right. Was that
a trial and error, though? Yeah.
Well, true. Was that something instinctive, or did you just kind of feel like you didn't need to go more than that, or how that worked?
You know, I can honestly say that a lot of this has been instinctive and just seeing. You know, I have made many mistakes, and I think that's a great thing. Is when I learn from my own mistakes and learn my own body,
right,
then I know what training works best for me, what foods agree with me. Yeah. And I think that just makes you a better body. But a lot of people rely so much on their coaches or information that's out there versus really listening to their own body to see how it affects them. And then they blame someone else when they have to blame, take accountability for your own self and your own physique and your life in general. You know, so that goes with anything in life, you know.
You said you do cardio. Do you do cardio year round?
No. I mean, I do. Honestly, I do it now. I do it more because, you know, especially after my parents passed away, I know I have to really be careful with my health. They had a lot of heart issues, and I want to make sure that, you know, my heart's strong. I have healthy, you know, blood levels and everything. So I do ride the bike. I don't do anything hardcore. You know, I'm not doing a lot of HIIT training or anything. I do something maybe 20 minutes on a bike, just, you know, first thing I check my messages while I do that.
Yep.
And then I go straight into, you know, so I make it work for me, but, it's not every single day. It's just a warm up, 3-5 days a week. So yeah, but before I never did cardio until it was competition time.
Yeah. Because you have that body type that just, you know, if you did too much cardio, it just wastes away.
Exactly. Yeah. Yes.
And what I learned, and mind the way I had to control it, was I had to do during the off season, I did 3 days a week, 25 minutes a day. That worked best for me. And again, like you said, you know, we make so many mistakes to get to what really works for us. You know, there's a reason it takes so long to be able to compete and look really legit from head to toe, because there's so much trial and error, right? And then, and what I noticed too, if I did more than 30 or 45 minutes a day, especially, you know, I actually didn't get in better shape, because the more cardio you do, the more you start burning lean weight. I mean, there were times, maybe you can relate, that I was behind on my schedule for whatever reason. I had to do a split. I'd do 30 minutes in the morning and 30 minutes at night, but I never came in better shape than I did when I just did 30 minutes a day. So that taught me how to, you know, learn how to manage my diet better and all that kind of stuff. you know?
Totally agree. Yes. Yeah. Yes. I did the same thing. I came in stringy because I did too much. Yeah. And then when I did the 30 minutes, but I gave myself a long period of time to slowly but surely cut down. I was spot on. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, how do you teach somebody that? And how do you learn that unless you really do that and make the mistake? You know, because for me, it was so disheartening temporarily when I put all this work in and I screwed up and I came in and I was off at the show. It's like, oh my goodness. You know, but,
what a waste.
But again, it depends on how you look at it. You know, momentarily, it was like, man, what a waste of time. But I thought, well, you know what? I actually learned from that. So what am I going to do the next time? You know?
Yes.
And that's how you keep getting better. And I think sometimes that's just what separates. So many people over the years, Bill, have come to me because I'm a trainer and I've helped lots of people get ready for shows. But you know what? The truth of the matter is they like the idea of it more than the actual reality of what's about to happen to them. Because I tell them, look, this is how it really is. If you're not able to tolerate all this suffering and rejection, then you better go, go find something else to do.
Find another job, yeah. I agree. Yeah. Oh, brother. They want it easy, but it's not easy, you know? Otherwise, everybody would
opposite.
Do it.
Yeah, exactly.
Right, yeah.
It's a suffer fest. You know, Tom Platt said it best, you know? You have to have the mindset to be willing to walk into fire every single day when you go into the gym. And it's just, it's a complete suffer fest. If it's not the training, it's the dining. I mean, it's one thing, it's the other, right?
Yeah, I met Tom Pless. I'm certified by ISSA, and he was my teacher in Orlando. And it was so great hearing him. He's so motivating.
Oh.
You know, he was sitting there doing like 100 squats in place. And then he did a squat like with one leg up. I was like, what?
That was
but
nuts.
He's nuts. He was,
I don't know if you know.
He's another guy that is,
yeah. Wow, I trained with Tom. What I did, I got to the regional level and I just couldn't, I didn't have enough information and knowledge to go to the next level. And at that time, I had just written a book called Big Beyond Belief. And so I thought,
I think I've got that book.
So anyway, during that time, I said, Tom, listen, I'm about as far as I can go with the information that I have. I would like you, because I brought him on. He actually worked for me for a year. He was like the front man. Yeah, because I wanted to learn from him. You know, he was the face, and I was just on his coattails because I traveled all over the world with him, and then I trained with him. I said, look, I just want to, I'll put myself in your hands, you know, and oh my goodness, man, I trained with him. It was scary going into the gym with that guy because
I can imagine.
100 reps. What the heck is that all about?
Yeah, and he was doing it with one leg. I was like, what are you doing? This is ridiculous,
He was scary. I have never been scared of going into a training, you know, workout. I was with him because it was something that happened to him in the eyes. He would switch. You know, really. You walk in, and then all of a sudden, it was like, I caught on to it. It's like, oh, no.
Yeah. You're in trouble.
I'm in trouble. Every single time. That's funny that he did that. Man, he was so good for the sport. He was good with people.
And great personality.
He taught me how to handle people. Yeah, he taught me how to make everybody feel special when he was traveling. He always had time for people. And again, I see you as that one of those kinds of people, man. And that, and Tom was good for the industry, you know. I haven't talked to him in a while, even though I trained with him for a while, but good guy in the industry. Caloric intake. What's your caloric intake in the off-season versus your preseason caloric intake?
Yeah, my off-season is around 4,000, 4,500, and then my pre-contest, I do cut down a lot. And I use, you know, I think I've heard some of your podcasts and your literatures, you know, the keto diet, obviously. I think that works really well for me. So when I get down that low, especially when you're cutting out a lot of the carbs and putting in fat, I really get to the point where I'm down the 2000 range. And when I get even closer, you know, I sometimes don't even measure. I just go whatever's going to get me as crisp as possible and as dry as possible. But I up my protein high enough to where I'm, you know, preserving my muscle mass and everything else. So I'm not getting too stringy. And, you know, I cycle my carbs too and cycle my fats. Okay. So that cycling, I kind of make it work for my training. You know, if I'm doing legs or back, you know, I'll throw in maybe a high carb day. And I also will throw in some things that will, you know, help me fill my body out, you know, because after those low, you know, the low keto days, I'll fill my body up and I feel so much better. I kind of, you know, getting in tune with your body. I know when I do that, you know, I feel sluggish, but I also feel like my body's burning. I feel my body sweating.
You can feel it.
Sweating. I can feel the sweat going, you know, I'm like, okay, this is what I need. And then I go right back down to the keto. And then I just feel myself getting tighter and tighter every week. So
it's amazing when you get in that in tune with your body. And no one, unless you go to this spot that you and I are talking about, I could tell when my heart rate was right at during cardio. I knew when my metabolism was kicking up, and because you just feel it, you know. And
and
the tricky thing about that, and this is one of the things I learned from Tom. The tricky thing about that is learning to trust that intuition, that instinct, you know, because I think sometimes we get too rigid and then we miss the real magic, you know.
Right.
Got to trust that. But what a feeling to be in that tune with your system. Oh,
it's amazing. Man. I love it. I love it. And I train other people and I want them to get that too and understand.
Yeah.
And not all of them do because they want to do their own thing or they're not trusting the process.
Right. Yeah.
It's great when you can do it. I felt it this time too. And that's why I felt really confident at the show, you know. It's
a
great thing.
I think that in itself is addictive, you know, to have that. Oh, I'm in complete control. And yet, you know that you're not, but it sure feels better to be, you know, you have some control because repetition is the mother of skill. One of my favorite quotes. And you keep doing it. And as long as you're paying attention and are a student in the game, there's all kinds of stuff that you learn about your body from the inside out.
For sure.
How about you're saying that protein intake? I'm really curious about this. Because I've talked to and interviewed a few athletes. Do you know how much protein you were taking in daily?
It varies because for me, depending on how much sleep I get, there's sometimes, you know, as you know, I have kids, I got a fiance, I got work, all these different things. So I make sure that if I'm awake, I'm eating protein. So there's some days I eat more than what my, you know, my schedule was supposed to have, only because if I'm going to be awake, I'm not going to let myself miss that window of opportunity. I want to stay in that, you know, anabolic state.
Right.
So there's some days where I'm, you know, up to the 300 range, and there's some days I'm a little less, you know, 270. But, you know, every single meal I'm getting at least 40 grams of protein. So, you know, if I'm getting that 7 meals a day, you know, then that's where I'm going to be at the 280 to 300 range. So.
Yeah. Okay. So you're getting plenty of protein. Now, one of the things that the Bulgarians taught me also, they said most people don't take enough protein in. I said, well, back in these days, this is Mike Mentzer. Do you remember him, Mentzer?
Mike Mentzer, of course. Yes. Yeah.
He was one of my mentors, and I talked a lot to him. The guy was so brilliant, but he was crazy.
That's what I hear. Yeah,
he was. But anyway, back in those days with Mike, it was like a half a gram. That was kind of like the big thing back then. Is that you don't need that much protein. A half a gram for 1 pound of body weight. You know, so there was always a debate about that. That when I went to Bulgaria, they said no, you should be eating up to 3 and even 4 grams of protein, especially if you're putting your body through intense training. You need to have high levels of protein. And, you know, people say, well, it's hard on your kidneys. But the truth of the matter is, as long as you're staying hydrated with water, it flushes right back out. It's not dangerous that way. But
the importance of water, yes. Water is the thing that I say to all people is so important. Me drinking all that water, even at work here, I'm like constantly going to the bathroom. But it helps you to detoxify your kidneys and, you know, flush out the toxins and everything. You have to do it, you know, especially like you said, when you're drinking that much protein.
Definitely. Do you have to take many shakes in, or do you get most of your protein from whole food that you eat?
You know, I've tried doing both. When I did the full, you know, whole protein, no shakes, I had great response to it, but it's very hard, you know, it's difficult to do. I would much prefer to do that. You know, I was eating, you know, egg whites, chicken, fish, you know, once in a while, you know, some red meat, but that was the staple of my diet. But I can't do it now because of, you know, family, finances, this and that. So what I've been doing is I put, you know, a couple of shakes in nowadays, and I even add it to my oatmeal because I like the way it tastes, you know. It makes the oatmeal taste really good. It's one of my favorite meals. So.
Well, and the thing about that is, like with you, I never ate 7 times a day. I ate four times a day for me seemed to work better. I tried the 6 and, you know, like what you're doing, but you know, again, you know, our bodies all respond differently. And I just found for me, it was 4 days a week seemed to work better, you know. But I would think that when you're going 7 days a week, I mean, that's a pretty strict regimen.
Oh, yeah.
I would think you'd have to, like, slam a shake here and there just to to keep it going, right?
Correct. Yes, definitely. Definitely. Especially if I'm driving home from work, I'm about an hour away, you know, so I'll have the shake, get home, shower up, and then I'll be in time for my next meal, which would be a solid meal.
Right. Yeah. And then you said that you take protein in every meal, 40 grams a day?
Correct.
Or 40 grams each meal? Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. So let me ask you, Philip, is winning the Natural Olympia the pinnacle now for you?
By far. It's definitely this show. I think because of everything that I had to go through with my, you know, my family, divorce, losing my job for a little bit there, like everything that can go wrong was going wrong.
Yeah.
And it just seemed like this opportunity came up. You know, Denise contacted me saying, hey, we'd love you to compete. We got Generation Iron, Ironman Magazine. We want to make sure that you are focused because you've been so loyal to the organization for years. I started with them in 1998. So it's been 21 years with them, and they treat me like family, and we've gone and done so many great things together. So I really wanted to do it because of that. Even my heart in the beginning wasn't into it because I was satisfied being retired.
Yeah.
I was satisfied just, you know, just going through life and kind of just dealing with what I had to deal with. But this show, especially going up against, I mean, you saw the class. It was stacked.
Oh.
You know, the reigning champion, Rob Terry,
yeah.
Siobhan Cunningham, who's a world champion himself, and Adrian Petrea. He is another great friend of mine. He's, you know, got such a great resume as well. So just that top five, top 10, you know, all those guys are just ridiculous. So
yeah.
I thought for me to go in, and like I said, my expectations, I always want to win, of course. I just want to go there, have fun, and just be present. And then honestly, just to associate with all the different, you know, fans from all over the world, because
yeah.
I just know so many people were like family. So going in there, I was very nervous, and I didn't know how my body would respond after, you know, the layoff. But coming in there and seeing everyone's reaction, and it was just so emotionally overwhelming for me. And so this by far was like just so special. It was
muscle,
very special.
Muscle has memory, baby.
Muscle does have memory. Yes. And I'm shocked. Yes. I was shocked.
So where do you go from here? What's the next step now? What are you going to do?
You know, there's people have been asking me that, and I'm still kind of, you know, enjoying the fruits of the labor, as you will. But
as you should.
If I were going to be honest right now, and I think it makes sense. You know, I've been doing this for so long. I've won the Natural Olympia now 4 times. And then if you count the Masters, it's the 5th title, I guess, for the Olympia world. I've got all these titles. I've got all these sponsorships. I've got the movie that's going to be part of being part of Generation Iron. I've got so much that I never would have dreamed of.
Yeah.
So for me to keep going for any kind of other selfish reasons doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
I think I've just done, like, this would be the best way to go out, you know, and just say, like, I did it, came back, and I went up against the best and still was able to pull off a victory. I just feel like I right now would just want to just ride off into the sunset, continue, because I'm a promoter, too. I promote for the Federation. I'm the East Coast rep here for the IMBA, PMBA. I'd love to guest pose, so if they wanted me to do that, I'd be able to do that. I'm going to stay in shape, but competing again, it just took so much. This is a really tough prep, but trust me, it was all worth it, especially, you know, winning, meeting you, and everything that came about with the show. I can't see anything being bigger and better than what just happened to me.
Well,
wanted to just leave it like this.
Well, I tell you what, there's too many athletes, and not just the sport of bodybuilding, but just in every sport, they don't know when to get out, you know?
Yeah.
And I can understand that, because when you love something, how it's hard to give that up. But the fact still remains, you got to know when to go. And I think this would be a good time for you, even though I'd like to see you compete more. But I think, I mean, you're right. And at this stage of the game, look, I said it at the top of the show, you're a great role model and you're really good for the sport. And there'll be ways that you can, you know, you're a promoter and you're advancing this sport. I have to say something, man. And I said it to Danny, I've been around for a long time, and I did, like, with booths and these events, I did the Olympia, I did the Arnold Classic, you know, and when I was sitting there in my booth, I kept thinking, why in the heck am I so, there's just something I can't put my finger on why I feel like this is really different, you know, having reference now to doing back in those days when I was competing. And it was just like I said on that mic, I said, look, you know, not only did the athletes at that show come in incredible shape, and I'm not talking just the men, and women's figure was just
oh my goodness, Yeah, women are ridiculous. Yeah. Yeah,
it was across the board. Oh, what stood out to me, Philip, even more was the camaraderie between and among the athletes. And that's not something that I saw necessarily back in those days, you know. And this is really, this was really what it was all about. And it was so obvious to me that the athletes were doing it for the love of the game. I mean, even when I saw there when the girls came out on the stage with I don't know if it was a board competition, and they all were together right there. I mean, that kind of stuff just didn't go on in my day, you know? So, and I really do think that's the way that this sport should be going, you know? It was a very positive thing. I met so many interesting people, and obviously you included, that I've got so many people that I just want to bring on to the show, because I want the people to see this is how it should be, man. So I applaud you, and I wish the best for you. And maybe we could talk about your doing your promoting. I'd like to know a little bit more, and because I'm back in the industry, I ask myself this too. It's like, I'm not going to compete anymore, Philip. I did it. I came back and did it. And people asked me, why don't you go and do it again? I said, absolutely not. Okay, I'm done now.
Yes.
I know that I'm done.
That sailed,
sailed. I'm done now. Yeah. But yeah, I still love this thing. I love it as much today as I did when I started. So I asked myself,
too.
How can I be relative in the sport today? How can I give some benefit? I think for me, it's about all the years and knowledge and things that I've learned, and to do what you're going to do now is pass it on, pass it forward.
Yes.
So maybe there's some stuff that you and I can do together down the road. We'll have to talk about that.
I'd love to. Yes. I'm all about it. Yeah.
Are you promoting anything like a supplement line or anything that you'd like to say on our show as far as online or at a website?
Yeah, I'm sponsored by an awesome guy. He was at the show, Brandon Laurel Stewart. He owns New Dawn Nutrition, and I'm sponsored by Elite Caliber Nutrition, which is another one of his product lines that's in the stores. So you can go to www.elitecalibernutrition.com or www.newdawnnation.com. Either one of those sites will give those supplements out. So he has lots of supplements. Most of the supplements, especially the line that I'm part of, are all water compliant. So it's Olympic standards. So you can take them, not have to worry about, you know, failing drug tests, because it's very important for us. You know, when you're competing with the IMBA, PMBA, you know you're going to be tested. You know that if you are taking something that is banned, that you will be caught and you will be found out. So it's very important to know what you're putting into your body. His supplements are great. He's also, he's been there, done that. He's a Hall of Famer. He's a two-time Natural Olympia men's physique champion. He's got a lot of other clients that are part of his line that competed in the show. He's a sponsor for my show as well as for the Natural Olympia. So I definitely want to give them a shout out. And absolutely, the entire team really were together at the show, and we were able to just help each other out. I had a guy, Roy Critchfield, who helped me out so much with my tanning, pumping up, and he was integral in me doing well in the show. And that's how we do. We're just a team, you know. And when I was out there, it's not like about like, you know, hey, he's in my class, I better like not help him out. No, he just was a servant, and I just felt so blessed to have a guy like him. He's a great friend of mine, him and his wife Linda, my boy Ray Ross. He's another guy that's with Elite Caliber Nutrition. Just the entire team, this is great. So
nice.
Definitely want to get up.
Beautiful. I love it. Listen, thank you very much for coming on, and I can't wait to see you again, man.
Yeah, Leo, I'm it's my honor to be on your show. And if you ask me back, I would definitely not say no, that's for sure. And anything we can do together, I'm looking forward to it.
Awesome. Okay, man. You take care, okay?
You too.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye, Leo.